Yo, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Morning Yankee Show. It is Tuesday, June 23rd, 2026. Yankees have lost three games in a row. We're all good. Nothing to stress about too much, but obviously this isn't ideal. It was bound to happen at some point. We'd, you know, go on a little bit of a skid. And sure enough, here we are, I guess you could say, for many different reasons. Now, in all seriousness, this is not a big deal. In fact, the Rays lost last night, so if you're still monitoring the American League East standings, which I guess you should. I'm not all that worried about Tampa Bay. If anything, I'd be more worried about the team below them, who is now 500 in the Toronto Blue Jays. But the Rays did lose last night, so we enter play Tuesday with a two-game lead still in the American League East. But anyways, let's break down everything about last night and kind of the issues that led to why we lost. Now, we'll touch on Gerrit Cole. I want to touch on Anthony Volpe, too, because let me get this out of the way right now. While I'm by no means an Anthony Volpe hater, I am very real about the situation. Just a couple weeks ago, we talked about how the Yankees need to accept, and I need to accept, that Jose Caballero should be the everyday starting shortstop. With that said, I lay that out because we're going to approach this fairly, and to approach this fairly, we cannot be blaming Anthony Volpe for every little thing. Now, there are some things to shine some criticism on his way, certainly regarding a really bad ABS challenge last night. And he is very much involved in at least a domino effect of why the defense has looked so bad as of late. But we're going to get into Volpe. We're going to get into a change that the Yankees absolutely should make starting tonight. And we'll also touch on a potential reunion with a former Yankee reliever. We'll touch on that at the end of the show. But nonetheless, click like on the video if you do not mind. We're live 5 days a week, the Morning Yankee Show. And of course, we'll be live tonight, Tuesday night, for game two against the Tigers. Carlos Rodon versus Casey Mize. But yeah, let's touch on yesterday's loss and really get into a big reason for the last couple games where the Yankees are struggling, and that's the defense. Why is the defense struggling? And again, I think a lot of people are just getting back into the Yankees, which is unfortunate to a degree. Not that I don't understand it. The Knicks were playing, you got the World Cup, but if you just tuned back into the Yankees the last few days, you'd be like, oh, same old Yankees, can't play defense. The Dodgers in the World Series said, just put the ball in play and they'll lose the game themselves, which is very much true at the time. Understand that the Yankees have been a very defensively sound team this year. Fundamentals this season have been, there's been a stark difference between this season and years past. Now, let's lay this out there. We're without Judge. We're without Trent Grisham. And with that in mind, the Yankees' defensive alignment has very much led to why we're seeing what we're seeing. So first things first, I want to emphasize, no, it's not because they're playing Anthony Volpe per se, in terms of the way a lot of people are taking that, which is, oh, Volpe's a bad shortstop, which I still think Caballero's the better option there. But with that in mind, the domino effect of Anthony Volpe playing is in part why this is happening, because here's the actual problem is. The problem is that Anthony Volpe is hitting right now. Another two hits last night. Over his last, you look at the last 2 weeks, he's simply been the second best hitter on the team, behind Paul Goldschmidt. Last 2 weeks, 12 games played, he's hitting .361 with a .924 OPS. Volpe has looked very good at the plate. Now, not saying that's going to lead to anything long-term. I'm not saying that at all, actually. But we know, at the very least, Volpe's a streaky player. And right now, he's in a good streak, at the very least. We're without Judge. We're without Grisham. We kind of need the best bats possible in this lineup, especially against left-handed pitching. And with that being the case, Volpe's going to be playing. When Volpe plays, he's playing shortstop. And he made a damn good play last night. A damn good play last night, which had we gone on to tie this game and win it, this would have been a game-saving play. At the time, we're down by two. You want to keep it there. And had that ball gotten through, that would have been the Tigers' sixth run. That was a legitimately tremendous play by Anthony Volpe last night. Even if you're a hater of his, which I certainly am not, but I'm also, contrary to popular belief, I'm not an Anthony Volpe shill, at least not these days. I don't think he should be starting at shortstop in October. But right now, it is totally justified for the Yankees to be playing him given the way that he's been hitting, especially against left-handed pitching. And yesterday we faced Framber Valdez, lefty. So what happens? You have Volpe starting at short. That's fair. That's justified. Yankees also want to get Jose Caballero's bat in the lineup. That's also fair and justified. Unfortunately, what that leads to is Caballero in left. He's been playing a lot of outfield lately. And that just should not happen anymore. I mean, that is a big reason as to why we've been looking so sloppy defensively. And again, domino effect. Against the lefty, the Yankees haven't been playing Spencer Jones. We'll touch more on this in a moment. But I think at this point, until Grisham returns, which may not be that much longer, he's already like running and looking good. It was a mild hamstring, not even a grade one. So I'm thinking hopefully maybe even by next week we see Grisham, or first week in July before the All-Star break. But Spencer Jones should be playing every single day, in large part because Cody Bellinger's had to play center field a lot. And Bellinger has far and away been the best defensive left fielder in baseball. He needs to be playing left field. Jose Caballero should not be playing the outfield. But again, is this Anthony Volpe's fault? I'm not a fool. Trust me. I see some double plays where Volpe's lack of arm strength does show. I think there's been a couple instances over the last week where maybe if Caballero were at shortstop, a double play gets turned. 100%. Is Volpe a perfect player? No. Trust me, that's not what this is about. But it is very much fair for the Yankees to be wanting Anthony Volpe's bat in the lineup right now. Again, he's hitting 361 over the last 2 weeks. So while it makes sense of him to be playing, and this isn't his fault per se, the problem, again, quote-unquote problem, is that, yes, Volpe's hitting. Makes sense for him to be playing. So with that, you have both of them in the lineup. How else do you get Caballero in the lineup? You play him in the outfield. Flat out, that just really should not be happening anymore. And Jones should be playing in center field. Now, there is a solution to this. However, really quick, I want to mention, we're facing Casey Mize tonight. We're facing a righty. So I would expect, and you can come back to this if I am wrong, I would expect that we will be seeing a really good defensive unit tonight, because you'll have Jones in center field. You'll have Bellinger in left. You'll have Ryan McMahon at third base. Going to be interesting to see what they do at shortstop, whether it's Caballero or Volpe. But tonight, I expect things go back to how they've typically looked for the most of the season, which is good fundamentals, good defense. And obviously, especially when we're without Judge, we're without Grisham. And the last few days, that's another big difference in the last, you know, couple days if you're just tuning back into the Yankees. It's has not been all season long. They're third in OPS in baseball with runners in scoring position. The last few days, they have not been capitalizing with runners in scoring position. Anyways, very important to be defensively sound in general, but especially when you're not hitting and when you're without Judge, when you're without Grisham. There is an option that they could do with this if they wanted to. And I think it's very much a reasonable take here, which is Jazz is hitting just 226. And he has been a lot better since the start of May. I think Jazz is a good player. He's far from a perfect player for a couple different reasons. Now, first things first, defensively, he's good. Defensive runs saved, do not like him. Outs above average does. Jazz is a very talented everything. Steals a lot of bases, leads the team in stolen bases. He's on pace for almost 50 stolen bases. There's a lot of good that comes with Jazz. By the way, I don't like the lollipop while he's playing. I think that's maybe me being an old head, and I'm possibly wrong on that. Fair enough. That's just a little side note. I don't like seeing my second baseman with a lollipop in his mouth while he's playing freaking baseball for the New York Yankees. Anyways, that's neither here nor there. That I truly can get over. Speaking of the runner scoring position thing, and this all goes into the point that I'm about to make, but just to lay out some more baseline here, Jazz is hitting 173 with runners in scoring position this year. And if you've been watching Jazz, even last year, where there was a lot of good, 30-30, OPS above 800, he truly was one of the best, if not the second best second baseman in baseball last season behind Ketel Marte. Even last year, a great year for Jazz, all-star season, everything that we saw, it was a good year. He had 208 with runners in scoring position last year. So between that and also the point that I didn't finish before, the defense, he is technically a good second baseman. And I truly do feel that way. There's mental mistakes. There's times where, like we often discuss, like the highs with Jazz are very high. The lows with Jazz can also be pretty damn low. The runners in scoring position falls into that. This year, down near, he's hitting 173 Jazz is hit with runs in scoring position. Last year, he hit 208. So throughout his Yankee tenure, this has been a problem. And overall now, I mean, he's kind of scuffling the last couple weeks, not looking good. My point here is this. Jazz does not have to be playing against left-handed pitching. And I say that because Caballero should not be playing the outfield anymore. Spencer Jones, until Trent Grisham returns, should just be playing center field every single day. I don't know how he's going to look against lefties. Chances are, if he can't hit lefties that well in the minors, he's not going to be able to hit them too well in the majors. But defensively, your best unit is with Bellinger in left field, Jones in center field. And then in right field, Jason Dominguez, obviously that's not great, but granted, a really bad at-bat to end the game last night. Jason's bat, I think, until further notice, still is worth dealing with his defense in right field. Hopefully he's not an abomination out there, but nonetheless, Bellinger should be in left. Jones should be in center every day until Grisham returns. Caballero should not be playing the outfield, unless it's in a pinch. You know, he's a utility guy, I understand. My point here is, against left-handed pitching, Jazz should not be an automatic, like, starting against a lefty. I would very much not be against, and actually I'm advocating for, in the meantime, this is all until Judge and Grisham come back and all that, but for what we got right now, which is, remember, a pretty tough situation to be in, and it didn't feel that way because we were winning, and now 3 games in a row we're talking about this, Volpe at short, Caballero at second against a lefty. Especially given the fact of our defense, and this is long-term a concern because even when we're healthy, against lefties, Amed Rosario, big two-run shot against a righty last night, by the way, at least at the time, and that's good to see, he's been struggling. Amed Rosario is the third baseman against lefties. He is not a great defender at third base, and that is something that will remain even when we're healthy. I mean, come October, there's a very high chance, at least starting, he'll be relieved by McMahon come game's end, if it's close, whatever. Rosario at third base is very much an issue, but with that said, against a lefty, you know that's going to be the case. That's already a hit defensively. We know McMahon is a way better defender than Amed Rosario, and he'll be playing third tonight against the righty. So with that in mind, yo, I'm not trying to make the defense even worse by having Caballero out there, not having Jones, having Bellinger in center, which the thing with Bellinger is that he's a fine center fielder. Like, he does a job. That's no issue. He's a great left fielder. So not only are you taking him out of his position where he's far and away the best defensive left fielder in baseball, you're putting Caballero out there, and then you already have, by default against a lefty, Amed Rosario at third base. That's not the way to go. What I would do going forward against a left-handed pitcher, which we're facing Skubal on Wednesday, you start Jazz tonight, and you have our standard 1-9. Positionally, it'll be Wells behind the plate. By the way, Ali Sanchez, x-rays came back negative. He's getting MRI on the hand, so he actually might be all good. But Austin Wells will be behind the plate. Rice DH, Goldschmidt at first. I would play Caballero at second base. Well, tonight will be against the righty, so Jazz will be at second base. McMahon at third, Volpe or Caballero at short, Bellinger in left, Jones in center, probably Jason Dominguez in right field. That's that. Against lefties, whether it be Skubal on Wednesday or just until the foreseeable future, whenever Grisham does return, I would play Caballero at second base, Volpe at shortstop. Because it should not be a given that Jazz is just playing no matter what by default. So that's a really main point I want to make here is that, yes, Jazz playing at second should not be an automatic against left-handed pitching. Volpe is not to blame in terms of his play right now. And if you want to blame him, it's because he's been hitting the ball so well lately. He really has been. And it looks good. But we're not going to we've seen Volpe get on good streaks before. So we're not going to take any from this and be like, oh, maybe Volpe is going to be good. No, trust me, I'm not that delusional. But what I do understand now is it makes sense for things to get him in the lineup. So with that said, you got to find a way to get Caballero in there. And it can't not be the outfield anymore because it's costing his games. Jones should be playing center field every single day. Bellinger should be in left. Also, with that said, remember, long term, this isn't so much an issue. There's not much new that we learned over these last few days. So this doesn't change anything. It doesn't change any of the ways, you know, I think about this team whatsoever. In fact, it gives us something kind of interesting to talk about because, you know, if we were just going to run away with the division, which I still anticipate we will, but if we were just going to, you know, be all sunshine and rainbows the rest of the year, one, that would go everything against how baseball works, and also be quite boring. If you can tell, I'm getting quite into this conversation because it's interesting. Long term, though, we will have Grisham back. He'll be playing center field. Judge will be back. I think defensively, that's an upgrade over Dominguez in right field. And in the postseason, this is what I would do. I would still start Caballero every day at shortstop because I do think he's a better defender than Volpe at short. And long term, I don't know if this is going to last with Volpe, but for right now, he is hitting. It makes sense to be playing him in under these circumstances. The only true concern that just remains defensively long term is what has existed all season long, especially the more and more you see him. Amed Rosario is not a great defensive third baseman. We know that. And the reason that's the only actual long term concern is because he's the only guy that come October, we know will be playing third base against a lefty. So hopefully he'll be able to hold his own. If you want to say, well, Dan, there's a good chance Volpe will be playing shortstop against a lefty in the postseason. Maybe you're right. Maybe you're right. But I'll tell you, while I think Caballero is a better defender at short than Volpe, I do think that, Volpe at short is not to the level of Amed Rosario at third. And I'm not just saying that because he made a great play last night. That's not what I'm saying. This really was a damn, this was a damn good play. I mean, this was like, Boone probably was like salivating and stripping when he saw this. And I'm not even trying to be funny here, but legitimately that was a plus one on the pro Volpe people charts. That was a great play. Anyways, I made my peace with that. Really main point here is Jones should be in center field every day, and he will be tonight. He should be tomorrow even against Skubal, because I want the best defense possible, and that's kind of where I stand on that. Now, let's talk about Gerrit Cole. It's really main thing here to talk about is last night was really the first time he got hit around. Now, we've seen him have bad starts, really just against Cleveland. The two against Cleveland, he was not good. And well, he got, you know, gave us some homers in that outing, those two outings as well. Yesterday was the first time where it really felt like, he was getting hit around. He entered the game, entered this start with a 196 batting average against. ERA was at 257. We know Cole hasn't been perfect. And the stuff I still do think looked good yesterday. Like the fastball, I think, looks incredible. Even the breaking stuff looked a little bit better, but there were some misses that he had with that fastball that led to, whether it be, I mean, that pitch right there, that was smoked. He had the triple earlier by, who was that, Torkelson or whoever it was. And then he gave up the home run to Riley Green. In the end, not a good start for Gerrit Cole yesterday. And that's a big reason, you know, why we lost. He goes 4 1/3, 9 hits, 5 earned runs, 1 walk, 5 strikeouts. You know, quickly I'm seeing a lot of people be like, maybe Cole just, you know, isn't that good anymore. I don't subscribe to the idea of saying that after we see him pitch poorly, because those same people don't say that after he has a good start, which still, now what? I guess it's 3 out of 6. We've been 3 really good and 2 not great. Yesterday I would say is bad. Yesterday was the first time he got hit around. This all goes along with what we knew. You got to be patient with Gerrit Cole. And I'm saying this month, next month, August, truly, honestly, the conversation about like Gerrit Cole being washed per se, which I know a lot of you aren't saying that, but like there are some people that just take the frustration and turn it into takes. That's really actually not a conversation until next year, but we won't do that because we are planning around Gerrit Cole being a big part of our plans in the postseason. You got to be patient with him though. He was not good last night. Doesn't mean he's not good, period. Here's Gerrit Cole after last night. As always, gives a great post-game interview. And he dives into, you know, some of the mistakes he made. And there was a question asked, which I think is a fair question, just to, like, get a quote on the matter about, like, just post-Tommy John. Is this an effect of that? That's the second snippet here. Here's Gerrit Cole after last night's loss.
You know, they got 9 hits. I mean, they just put a ton of pressure on us and played overall just slightly better baseball.
Here with the mistakes, do you chalk this up at all to – this is what happens sometimes, the guys coming back from Tommy John? Or
I don't think it has anything to do with that. I mean, the reality is, like, pitches over the heart of the plate, there's 3. There's 3 over the heart of the plate. Now, like, pretty critical about some of the other stuff. Obviously, walking Green in that situation, I probably need to pressure a few of those pitches. The slider was costing me leverage tonight, trying to get it to the back door. Yet at the same time, it's competitive on the corner. But, again, it's not a strike. So the reality is it's not a strike. Like, it's really nicely thrown. It's within 1 or 2 inches of what we're looking for, but it's the wrong 1 or 2 inches. You know, the opposition is going to put pressure on you sometimes, and the reality is, like, you know, it's not the try-hard league. It's the get-it-done league, and we just didn't get done tonight.
Fantastic quote at the end. Not the try-hard league, it's the get-it-done league, and couldn't agree more. Colton knows that. That's why he said it. And we're going to leave it there, because in the end, Cole just pitched poorly last night. There's nothing more to really take from it other than don't take much from it. Cole just pitched poorly, and that's that. I do want to discuss something that I almost forgot to mention, and it's actually a relatively big conversation to take away from last night, and just in general, the ABS challenging system. We're going to get to that really quick right after this break. We have much to discuss in that, so we'll be right back after this. Yo, what's up, guys? Quick break here. I want to let you know that the Aaron Judge 4th of July shirts are now available. Real beauty is on the back. Link in description. Go ahead and get yours. They are now available to purchase. We'll be giving away a few soon, but for now, if you want to get yours, link in description. Link in description. Those are fire. I was wearing it last night in the watch party. Anyways, link in description for that, yes. So, the ABS challenging. We got to mention this because there really has to be a hammer put down on some of the really poor ABS challenging that we're seeing. And this is where we can go critical on Volpe, very much so, actually, because by halfway through the game last night, or by the sixth inning, because of you had an Aly Sanchez challenge early on, which I'm totally cool with that. Aly Sanchez and J.C. Escobar have had some really good challenges lately, and that's your catcher. Like, that's way more than reason, even when they get it wrong, and they've also been great at it lately. This challenge yesterday, Volpe against Framber, wasn't a good at-bat. He ends up getting caught looking on this breaking ball, and it almost felt like an egotistical ABS challenge because, like, we all knew that ball was clearly a strike, and I won't say, like, Volpe knew that was a strike, but I don't have the full replay afterwards, but he taps his helmet, and as you can see, the ball is clearly in the zone. That was a brutal ABS challenge by Anthony Volpe. And what happened with that, and we've seen this happen to us to our benefit with other teams, where remember that game in Cleveland a couple weeks back? Part of the reason we won that game, remember the thrilling extra innings victory, which was one of our better wins of the season? Cleveland was out of challenges like halfway through the game, and the home plate umpire in that game was terrible. and like kind of thank goodness they didn't have ABS challenges left, or else the outcome could have been very different. Not saying this would have led to anything differently, but I would have been able to stomach the loss a little bit better had we had an ABS challenge and the game didn't end on this strike three call, which was absolutely brutal, but nothing we can do because we were out of challenges because of Anthony Volpe, whatever the reason being. If he truly, he must have thought that one pitch before was a strike. This one clearly obviously wasn't, or he must have thought, Volpe must have thought this was a ball, but the we all knew it. I mean, I don't know what Volpe was doing there. That was absurd. And then, yeah, we're out of challenges by the time this strike three call is called, but it was clearly a ball. Ball game over, Yankees lose. We don't know what the outcome would have been, but heck, again, I would have been able to stomach last night a little bit easier had we not lost the game, at least directly in the last out, via that brutal strike three call. Now, also, too, umpires should just not make bad strike three calls. That's terrible. But, yeah, I mean, that was just completely absurd on Volpe's end and on the umpire's end. But, dude, Volpe, Jazz, especially that early in the game, when we have just one challenge left, I mean, that was absurd for many reasons. It almost did feel a little, like, egotistical. Like, Volpe was, like, pissed that he struck out, and that almost felt like more the motivation. This is me just assuming. Obviously, I don't know, but the mindset there with that ABS challenge clearly was off, and it almost, that irritates me more than any other criticism I see of Anthony Volpe, which a lot of them, at least right now, are unjustified, and I hope we can get away from that a little bit. Volpe gives you a lot of reason to criticize him, and trust me, you'll probably have a lot more ammo in the future. Just wait for that, or go off of what is valid, like that ABS challenge. That was brutal, not the other crap, which is very much invalid right now. Keyword, right now. But that was terrible. ABS challenge, that has to be worked out. And I would like to think, I would just take it out of Volpe's hands. Like, Volpe, I don't really want you challenging no more. Jazz, I don't want you challenging anymore. I'd rather just leave it to the catchers and then, like, I mean, I don't know if it's something to do with, like, backdoor breaking balls. Like, we saw Goldschmidt challenge one the other day. It wasn't great. But, like, Goldschmidt, I can get over him challenging. It's Paul Goldschmidt. He's been great, and he's a veteran. I trust him. Judge, when he comes back, I want him to challenge more. Trent Grisham, I totally am good with him challenging. He knows his zone great. Volpe doesn't. And also, too, just the method that went behind him challenging there, which it just felt so flawed. And clearly it was, but just the process of it, just it felt like he was just upset that he struck out. And for all we know, that ended up blowing us the game. Now, Volpe was really good otherwise. He had two hits, a great play. But that was unacceptable, flat out unacceptable, and cannot happen. And that goes for other players on the team, too. Those are the little things that do drive you insane, yo, because teams will go cold. Offense, you know, not hitting that much with runners in scoring position, that I can get over so easily. Like, I almost don't even think about it. We know the Yankees have been really good all season long with runners in scoring position, and, you know, they're not homer or bust, like we've been hearing some people say, because I've just been, I guess, watching the last couple of days. No, they lead baseball, yes, in home runs, but also in stolen bases. They've been very fundamentally sound all season long, not the last few days. And for the most part this year, outside of a cold stretch in early May, and then the last couple of days, they've hit with runners in scoring position. I can get over all that stuff, yo, because teams will go cold. Offenses will go cold. That's bound to happen. You'll lose a couple games. I don't like losing it because of this crap, though. ABS challengings that are stupid, or guys that are defensively out of position. And that really will be prevalent going forward when we watch, because as we always say, like, nothing wrong with making mistakes. And I'm saying this in terms of the defense. The ABS challenging, I don't have anything to throw water on that with. But defensive alignment, it's kind of like, all right, Caballero, putting him in the outfield. Volpe's been hitting. Jazz, you would think, could hit some lefties. And, you know, without Grisham, without Judge, like, you tried it out. But now you've learned that's not the way to go. Caballero should not be playing the outfield. So going forward, I would like to think the defense will be much better. Tonight it should be much better because we're facing the righties. So again, you'll have McMahon at third, Jones in center. We'll see what they do at shortstop. But yeah, I've kind of made my piece on all that. I want to wrap it up really quick with this, which we alluded to it before. Now, this is all speculation via Michael Kay. But he just mentioned, just kind of throwing it out there. This isn't a report. This isn't like anything. But he actually mentioned that the Yankees could call up the New York Mets about a potential return reunion with Luke Weaver. Now, Weaver, of course, is in the first year of a two-year, $22 million deal, and he's been really good with the Mets. So far this year, 2.25 ERA in 32 innings pitched, whip under one, well under one at a .88, 175 batting average against. He's been absolutely great. And again, Michael Kay just threw it out there like maybe the Yankees would make the phone call, and I would like to think that they would. Obviously, would the Mets make a deal like this with the Yankees? I don't think we're in the era of like the Wilpons where, you know, there was a time where it was 2017, I believe. And there's other examples of this too, but Yankees in 2017 offered a package or maybe just one for one, Domingo Germán for Jay Bruce. And I think it was Sandy Alderson at the time was their GM, like accepted. Like they were down to do so, but the Wilpons were like, no, we're not trading him to the Yankees. And I don't think that's like the worst. I mean, that's nothing new. Like Mets, Yankees, whether it be like Reds, like same thing, like not that we would ever offer Aroldis Chapman an apology anyways, who just blew a game to the Rockies last night, by the way. But the Yankees and Red Sox wouldn't make a deal. Last year, the Yankees were very close to acquiring Kyle Tucker from the Astros. They wouldn't send him to us, which is annoying, but it's nothing new. Logistically speaking, though, like legitimately, I don't think the Mets would do this in terms of, I don't think they're going to trade Luke Weaver, period. Again, it's a two-year deal, and he's been great. And that's like the one aspect of things that have gone well for David Stearns and the Mets is like they're actually, the bullpen has been pretty good. Weaver's a big part of that. So I don't think this is going to happen. I wanted to touch on it really quick because obviously I would be so down and the reliever market is thin. By the way, Vest of the Tigers last night, some people are talking about the Yankees going out and getting him at the deadline. Not against that. I mean, the reliever market is so hard to nail down and be like, get this guy, get that guy, because you don't know who's going to be in it. You don't know. There's so many relievers. You don't know who the Yankees are looking at. It's very tough to actually talk about it with, you know, an actual name or two or even a bunch in mind to really break down. I just wanted to talk about this because I saw it going around and wanting him, I think, makes total sense. I'm totally down. I would love a reunion with Luke Weaver. He's great. But realistically speaking, like this isn't going to happen. And not just because Yankees, Mets. I don't know how Steve Cohen would operate under that whole thing. We haven't really seen it go down. But I haven't heard anything that's like Cohen would never trade a Met to the Yankees, even though they're out of it, whatever. Just from Luke Weaver, period, I don't even think we get to that conversation because I don't think the Mets would trade him in general. But obviously, I'd be down to have him back. Don't think it's going to happen, though. That's going to do it for this episode. Hope you all have a great rest of your Tuesday. We'll be live tonight for the watch party. Game 2 against Detroit. You got Carlos Rodon against the right-hander, Casey Mize. And again, I expect a much better defensive game from the Yankees today because we'll have our right-handed lineup, which means McMahon at third, Jones in center, Bellinger back in left and all that. So, yeah, that's all we got for this episode. I'll see you guys tonight for the watch party. Have a great rest of your day. And until then, let's go Yanks.